Welcome everyone to pre-ICANN 61 policy open hour at 19 UTC on Thursday, 1st of March, 2018. Before we move on, I would like to inform you that we will start with a short briefing by policy development support team, which will be followed by a questions and answers session. I will now hand it over to David Oller for his opening remarks. David, floor is yours.
Thank you very much and welcome everyone. I'm David Olive, Senior Vice President for the Policy Team, speaking to you from Washington, D.C. I'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for taking the time to participate in this open house in preparation for ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico. I have the Policy Team members who've been working with you on a regular basis as you are preparing various policy and advice issues to be discussed, debated, and moved forward at the ICANN meeting in Puerto Rico. With that, this is a very useful format. We tried to change it a little bit from our traditional briefing, a little more interactive format to answer questions and have the opportunity for the policy team people to engage in a discussion with you. We also are experimenting with simultaneous interpretation in French and Spanish. And of course, we draw your attention to the preparatory materials, in particular the pre-ICANN 61 policy report, which provides an overview of the topics and issues to be discussed at the ICANN meeting, as well as the generic name supporting organization policy brief, a little more in-depth discussion of the issues that the GNSO we'll be talking about and discussing at the meetings. With that, ICANN 61 is a community forum, a gathering of the ICANN community, board, and organization. This meeting will feature two public forum sessions and four cross-community working sessions, as well as outreach and engagement activities. And I notice we do have a representative from San Juan, Puerto Rico, and we thank the hosts for their cooperation, and we look forward to visiting very soon in San Juan. The cross-community sessions I draw your attention to in particular because they are developed by the community, selected by them, on topics that are of great interest across the ICANN community. And, of course, number one is the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, and who is compliance model, some experiences of a registry operator operating a top-level domain, some of their day-to-day activities and the challenges that they face. Names collision, it will be a topic run by our Security and Stability Advisory Committee group, talking about the need to look at this issue and to mitigate any risks that might be involved in it. And then finally, we'll have a discussion about the Open Data Initiative as it's linked to the ITI or the Information Technology Initiative, the new platforms that are being developed to make sure that our web information and presence is safe, reliable, and easy to use. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleagues to provide some brief overviews of the highlights by various SO and AC groups and allow you to hear more. But in the meantime, I have a quick question, quick quiz. How many sessions will be held at ICANN 61? 75 to 100, 100 to 200, 200 to 300, or over 300? Now's your chance to vote and see how close you are to the number of sessions in this ICANN 61 community forum. Those who said over 300 are correct. I think there are 303 at last count. And I would think we're having about 100 to 150 of those in the policy and advice area of the SOs and ACs. So it is an indication of your hard work and busy contributions during an ICANN meeting. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleague, Bart Boswinkle, to talk about the CCNSO. Bart, please.
Thank you, David, and hello, everyone. As David said, and as you can read, I'm VP Policy Support, CCNSO Relations. And as I support the country code naming support organization. I'll provide you with a brief overview of some of the topics the CCDSO will be discussing in San Juan and which may be of interest to the broader community. As you know, the CCDSO has initiated its third policy development process, which focuses on the retirement of country code top-level domains, CCPLDs, as well as the review mechanisms associated with this four decisions relating to the delegation, transfer, revocation, and the retirement of CCPLDs. During the San Juan meeting, the working group will provide an update to the broader community, particularly the CCNSO members, and we'll have an extensive discussion on Thursday morning. Secondly, the broader CCTLD community and other interested parties will be informed on the guideline on the CCNSO procedures to exercise one of its empowered community rights, and particularly to reject specified actions. This may be of interest because I think the CCNSO is one of the few who really put in a lot of effort in developing this guideline at this stage. And for those of you who are really interested, tomorrow morning at 10 UTC, there will be a webinar on this topic, and I will pass the link how to join that webinar after my introduction. The third item of high interest on the CCNSO agenda is related to the use of emoji in second-level domain names, and this follows the ESSEC findings and their report. During Tech Day on Monday, the 12th of March, ESSEC representatives will brief the CCTLD Tech Day community on the technical and operational risks, and on Wednesday and on during the CCNSO Members Day, the focus will be on the policy and business-related aspects linked to the use of emoji at second levels and the risks associated with this. And this brings me to the final topic, the GDPR. One of the sessions at CCNSO meeting is called the legal session, and during the CCNSO Members Day on Wednesday, the focus of this session will be entirely on the GDPR. The goal is to inform the CCTLDs present and the broader community about the impact on the CCTLDs and discuss with them how, particularly with in the regions which are outside of the EU, how they are affected by the GDPR. There are CCTLDs who register domain names from EU citizens, so it is interesting to see how they deal with the GDPR. The three presenters will touch on the impact of the GDPR for those CCTLDs, and then we'll hope to have a broader discussion on, in particular, on WHOIS related issues. So that brings me to the end of my introduction, and I'd like to hand over to my colleague Marika, or Steve. So, Steve, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Bart. This is not Marika. This is Steve Chan, Policy Director in support of the Generic Name Supporting Organization, and I'll take you through some highlights for the GNSO. So there, as you can see from the slide, there are a number of things going on for the GNSO, and we'll just go through some of those highlights for ICANN 61. For the policy development processes, there's a number of meetings, and significant time has been allocated for each of them. I'll go into a little more detail in the next slide, but you can see the groups that are being supported there. In addition, there are bilateral meetings between the GNSO Council with the ICANN board, the Country Codes Name Supporting Organization, and the Governmental Advisory Committee. For the working sessions on Sunday, there are a number of different things planned for that session. There will be a strategic planning session to discuss how policy development can be more effective and efficient. There will also, so for that session, there will be the PDP leaders, council members, but community members are welcomed and encouraged to join and participate as well. There will be a review of the all rights protection mechanisms and subsequent procedures joint meeting to talk about timeline and how to coordinate the work between the two groups. And also on the Sunday sessions, there'll be a discussion update about the various intergovernmental organizations' PDP work. Another highlight is popularly known as Constituency Day. The stakeholder groups and constituencies of the GNSO will be meeting that day. It's Tuesday. On Wednesday, the GNSO Council will have its public meeting, and some of the highlights for that meeting will be an update on the status of the implementation of GNSO review, the cross-community engagement group on internet governance will be discussing their revised charter, putting it forward for consideration. The FY19 budget input from the council will be discussed. There will also be discussion on the fellowship consultation, and there will also be initial discussion of the inter-registrar transfer policy, or IRTP, review. And the last item on this slide is GNSO wrap-up, which is a traditional session that council always has. Thanks for all of those that participated in the poll. Now you have a sense of how busy the GNSO is at ICANN61. And so how many sessions does that actually result in? The answer is 61, or sorry, excuse me, 67. And again, thank you for those that participated. So moving on to the key areas of focus in terms of policy development at ICANN61. First, we have up the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group. They have about 4.5 hours allocated to them. They'll be working towards their initial report and discussing the initial preliminary recommendations, implementation guidance, as well as the options and specific questions they are seeking community input. And they'll also be talking about geographic names in the new GTLD program by way of Work Track 5. For the next generation registration directory services, they'll be discussing review and discussion about what constitutes legitimate purposes for processing of information as well as required data elements. The review of all rights protection mechanisms will be discussing the reports from the various sub-teams on the uniform rapid suspension, as well as the data collection work that is ongoing. The curative rights protection for IGOs and INGOs will be discussing possible final recommendations to be included in its final report. And finally on this slide, while it is not a PDP, it's a cross-community working group on auction proceeds. They'll be discussing or exchanging views with external experts, and they'll also be continuing their review of input from the board liaison to the cross-community working group. And so lastly, just turning our attention to the poll on the right-hand side, thanks again to all those that participated, and it appears that many are well aware of the work of the Subsequent Procedures, PEP. The correct answer is indeed 5, and as you can see, most of you have gotten the answer correctly. So thank you all. That concludes my remarks, and I'll pass on to Carlos. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes, and I'll be providing an update on the ANDRA Supporting Organization. As you may know, the ANDRA Supporting Organization reviews and develops recommendations for Internet Number Resources. and the ASO Address Council, or AC, manages the global policy development process. The ASOAC conducts monthly teleconferences and meets annually at one ICANN public meeting. This year, that meeting is ICANN 61. Two updates from the ASO. First, the ASO organizational review is underway. The objective of the review is to determine if the ASO has a continuing purpose in ICANN. If so, whether any change in structure or operations is desirable to improve its effectiveness, and whether or not the ASO is accountable to the Internet Numbers community. In January, the NRO Executive Council and the ASO Address Council published a joint response addressing the recommendations in the final report. One of the recommendations in the final report proposes structural changes to the ASO and calls on the NRO to facilitate regional consultations. Earlier this week, the APNIC community started this process. Regional consultations will continue at the ARIN and LACNIC meetings in April and the AFRINIC and RIPE-NCC meetings in May. The ASO will also provide a status update on the organizational review at ICANN 61. Second item pertains to regional policy development in the Internet Numbers community, and I'm going to highlight two areas. First, a global policy proposal has been submitted to the LACNIC policy development mailing list, recommending the creation of a virtual global internet registry. The ASOAC is tracking this issue as it works through the various regional policy development processes. And in April, the ARIN community will discuss three recommended draft policies on topics such as who is point of contact validation and a repeal of a previous policy in light of IPv4 exhaustion. Four other policies remain in draft form as well. And the ASOAC will also provide more detailed overview of regional policy development at ICANN 61. And with that, we transition away from the supporting organizations and to the advisory committees, and I'll hand it over to my colleague, Heidi.
Heidi, we cannot hear you. Are you on mute?
Everyone, this is Heidi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. Apologies for that. Have to get some new earbuds. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. My colleague Evan and I will give you a preview of the key topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, the ALAC, and the At-Large Community, consisting of 223 at-large structures and 67 individuals during ICANN 61. As an overview for key activities at ICANN 61, the ALAC members, liaisons, and RALO leaders will hold a total of 26 sessions on policy, process, and outreach and engagement. Evan will be highlighting the policy issues in just a moment. Regarding process, there will be discussions on the fiscal year 19 draft budget and the final topics for the 2018 at-large capacity building webinars. In addition, working groups on the topics of accessibility, the ICANN Academy, and technology will be holding meetings to advance their work. In terms of outreach and engagement activities, there will be a joint civil society session between the ALAC, URALO, and the NCUC on breaking down the silos. The five RALOs will also be busy. At ICANN 61, as ICANN 61 is within the NRALA region, members are holding the first North American School of Internet Governance between the 7th and 9th of March. NRALA will also be holding its 11-year anniversary of the signing of the MOU with ICANN. Several members of LACRALA will hold 2 days of meetings to discuss new governance documents. Also, AFRALA will be focusing on hot policy topics during their monthly meeting. The leadership of all five RALOs will be holding a session to discuss topics of interest across their region. Among the next item of the at-large review, which is a key topic, the at-large review working party will discuss an implementation proposal with members of the OEC. This proposal is the at-large response to an earlier mapping exercise of the review. It includes ALAC proposals to the 16 items that the independent examiner highlighted during their review. During, given that this proposal is expected to be the last step prior to the board approval of the review, there will also be initial discussions of the planned at-large improvements. I will now hand the floor over to Evan, who will provide a brief update on the at-large policy development activities. Evan?
Hello. Thank you, Heidi. At-large has two main topics, the first being new generic top-level domains with four items: geonames, community TLDs, applicant support, and pricing. And this will be an opportunity for the ALAC, regional leaders, and other members of the at-large community to gain more knowledge regarding specifics of the new GTLD policy development process on subsequent procedures, which is seen to be of great importance to at-large. And the second topic is for RDS, WHOIS, and GDPR. There will be an update on the Registration Data Services PDP, as well as an update on the RDS-specific review. And given the diverse views on GDPR within at-large, there will be an opportunity for at-large to have greater awareness and understanding of this important issue at ICANN 61. And we'll have a brief pop quiz now in the right side of the screen. At-large leaders are planning on discussing which new GTLD topics? If you could just answer. Geonames, community TLDs, applicant support, pricing, all of the above, or none of the above? Just give a moment to answer. And great, I see most everyone is answering all of the above, which is the correct answer. And with that, I'll turn it over to Rob Hogarth regarding updates from the Governmental Advisory Committee. Thank you.
Rob, we cannot hear you. Are you on mute? It seems Rob has a problem, audio problem, so we can move on to the next update by RSEC. So if we can fix the problem Rob is having now, we can go back to Governmental Advisory Committee update later on. Carlos, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Ozan. Hello, everyone. I'll be providing a brief update from the RSEC as well today. As you know, the RSEC advises the ICANN board and community on matters relating to the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the root server system. Since ICANN 60, the RSEC has published two documents. First is RSEC 030. This is a statement on entries in DNS root sources. And in this document, the RSEC briefs the community on three source files that determine an organization responsible for the operation of the DNS root server. The second document is RSEC 031, and this is a response to the GNSO Policy Development Process Working Group on new generic top-level domain subsequent procedures. In this statement, the RSEC provides advice on how many and how fast TLDs can be added to the root. The RSEC strongly advises that the number of TLDs delegated in the root zone should not increase by more than about 5% a month, with the understanding that there may be minor variations from time to time. Additionally, the RSEC will continue to advance its work on the evolution of root service. It will also hold two tutorials on the root server system, and joint meetings with the Office of the CTO and the ICANN board. Finally, the assessment report for the second organizational review of the RSEC was published yesterday for public consultation. The independent examiner will explain the findings in a session at ICANN 61 as well. And with that, we'll go back to my colleague Rob for the GAC update.
All right, it seems we can still not hear Rob, so we can go forward to have the ESSEC update, and we'll go back to Rob if we can fix this audio problem. Andrew?
Thanks, Ozan. Hopefully you can hear me. So my name is Andrew McConaughey, and I'll be telling you about the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee has new leadership starting in January of 2018. The new chair is Rod Rasmussen, and the new vice chair is Julie Hammer. Since ICANN 60, the ESSEC has published several documents that will be discussed at ICANN 61. Two of those, SAC 99, which is a ESSEC response to the ICANN Internationalized Domain Name Guidelines Working Group. And this contains ESSEC's advice on whether certain delegation and infrastructure records should be internationalized, and if so, what are the rules? Infrastructure records are generally DNS records that people don't see, so the ESSEC issued some advice on that with regards to IDNs. The second document is SAC 100, and this is the ESSEC response to the new GTLD subsequent procedures development process working group request regarding root scaling. This is the ESSEC thinking on how fast and how many TLDs can safely be added to the root, and this ESSEC advice contains four recommendations. In addition to discussing these two published reports, the ESSEC will also be holding a session on its name collision analysis project, and it will soon, by soon I mean March 2nd, as was answered in the chat earlier, open up public comments on a project proposal on the name collision analysis project. And as mentioned, there will be a cross-community session in ICANN 61 to discuss this further. And finally, at every ICANN meeting, the ESSEC hosts a DNSSEC workshop. This is a place for implementers and people from the region to gather and discuss DNSSEC deployments, as well as what's going well and trade ideas and tools. And there will also be a DNSSEC for Everybody session, which is more beginners-focused. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Ozan for the question time, or maybe we can go back to Rob. Ozan, it's up to you.
Thank you, Andrew. Let's go back to Rob to see if we can hear him now when he speaks.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate you having my back. Can you hear me, Ozan?
Yes, we can, sir.
Excellent. Sorry for the technical issues, folks. I think I have the same earbud brand that Heidi's using. Good day. This is Rob Hogarth, and I'm currently responsible here in the policy team for the support of the activities of the Governmental Advisory Committee at ICANN. And ICANN 61 meeting is going to present another benchmark for the GAC in that it's going to be the first meeting of the new GAC leadership team. Some of you may be aware that Manal Ismail took over as chair from Thomas Schneider at the end of the ICANN 60 meeting. So this will be the first meeting of the new leadership team with Manal as chair and a new class of five vice chairs who will be commencing their services at the end of the San Juan meeting. We are also going to be welcoming three new members to the GAC, the countries of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Myanmar, and Bangladesh are going to be joining the GAC, and that will be bringing the total membership in the committee to 176 GAC members and 36 GAC observer organizations. So we will have a full house in San Juan. The sessions that the GAC has scheduled are close to 35 now, in terms of the number of individual topics and gatherings that the GAC will have during the week. And they run the gamut from substantive issues to operational issues to a number of bilateral meetings with various groups. The slide that you see in the AC room now reflects a number of the top topics that are high on the agendas of many of the GAC members. In particular, you'll see the topics of geographic names, the Work Track 5 work that the GNSO is doing that Steve mentioned. A number of my colleagues have already mentioned the general data protection regulations. That's an important issue, of course, for many GAC members. And then, of course, there are continuing discussions about the independent review process and the .Amazon issue. So that will be high on folks' list of topics, but a host of other conversations as well. On the operational side, the GAC is going to be looking at topics like the management of policy development processes and working groups, how volunteers interact with the GAC leadership and with the GAC membership to ensure more active participation in various PDPs. And there are also going to be a couple of interesting sessions generally that I'm flagging for people that a number of you who are not in the GAC might be interested in. The GAC is going to be holding another capacity building workshop on Saturday morning of the meeting. And that has proven to be a very successful pilot program over about the last 9 or 10 months now, where the beginning of the meeting features an opportunity for new GAC participants or other interested members of the community to learn more about the committee's work, the areas of focus, and how the GAC conducts its affairs. There will also be a dialogue that a number of GAC members are interested in with representatives of the Universal Acceptance Initiative. That's something that's gaining substantial interest on a global basis and obviously has some interest among various governmental representatives. And then for the first time, there's going to be a collaborative working session of members of the GAC as they work with members of the ICANN org strategy team to help develop points of view and share points of view with respect to ICANN's longer-term strategic planning. So that will be an interesting area as well that will be explored in the meeting. We hope that many of you will have an opportunity to join us for one or two of those sessions. As usual, and something that has changed in recent years, the GAC plenary sessions are now all open to the entire community. They feature remote participation as well as simultaneous interpretation in the 6 UN languages plus Portuguese. And then I'll wrap up to assure you all that it is once again very likely that at the end of the meeting, the GAC will be issuing another GAC communique. For those who aren't familiar with the general timing of that, the communique is usually released at the end of the meeting, somewhere around the public comment forum time or just before. It's become a little bit later in recent meetings simply as a reflection of the amount of sessions and the interest that the GAC membership has in being able to see the entire meeting completed before finishing up and buttoning up the communique. So as usual, I hope there will be a community interest in that activity, and we'll look forward to seeing many of you in San Juan in just a little bit over a week. Thanks very much, Ozan. I appreciate the patience on the technical side, and I will turn the microphone back to you. And I'll take a peek at some of the questions that have been popping up in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Hello, everyone. This is Ozan Şahin speaking. I'm working out of ICANN Istanbul office as Community Services Senior Coordinator. We will now continue with questions and answers session. As you might have noted on the screen, Adobe Connect Room microphones have now been enabled. To activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. During the registration period for this open house, we have received some questions through the registration form. As you think about questions to ask policy development support team and activate your microphone, I would like to go through some of the questions we have received so far that are in the policy development support context. For the rest of the questions received, we will provide links on the slide deck, which will be posted after open house session. In the meantime, please feel free to either raise your hand or type your question or comment in the chat box. I'm pausing here to see if there are any participants' hands raised or any comments or questions in the chat box. Seeing none at the moment, I'd like to go to the questions registered to registration form, and the first one we'll address is a draft agenda of the Public Safety Working Group available before the meeting. When will the GAC communique be available after the meeting? Rob, would you like to respond to this question?
Thank you, Ozan. Yes, and I'll also take advantage of answering a couple of the questions that popped up in the chat at the same time. The Public Safety Working Group agenda is just being finalized now. I think the PSWG had a meeting either today or yesterday, and a lot of their work presently is focused on their work plan as well as GDPR issues. The key focus areas, I think, in San Juan will be similar to the overall focus of some of the GAC issues, in that the PSWG is going to be looking at who is compliant with GDPR, and that'll be through two primary vehicles. There is a cross-community session that's co-sponsored by the GAC on this topic on Monday that I'm sure many of you will attend, and there will be subsequent GAC plenary discussions on the matter, including a public meeting of the PSWG. So there will be a full description and discussion about GAC interests with respect to GDPR. The PSWG also focuses heavily on DNS abuse mitigation issues, and so there will be some discussions on that topic in San Juan. And an interesting aspect of the GAC's work that I mentioned a bit in my formal remarks is that in looking at GAC work processes and activities, one of the areas of great focus is how working groups within the GAC interact not only within the GAC, but participate more broadly in community activities. And so there will be a number of internal working group matters that the PSWG engages in that are of great interest to GAC members because they have broader implications in terms of how all the working groups will be operating in this new empowered community structure within ICANN. I chatted about the communique already. Again, it's after the meeting, or not completely after the meeting, probably around the public comment forum time on Thursday, that you'll have an opportunity to see that the GAC communique has been published and posted on the GAC website. Just real quickly, if I can, Ozan, I wanted to address Renata and TFH's questions. In terms of underserved region outreach and work, focus in the area of increasing participation and involvement from participants in underserved regions has been a priority for some period of time within the GAC. And the capacity building workshop approach, the pilot program that's been in place now for just about a year, was put in place to address those types of issues with a focus on being able to reach out and interact with participants and representatives from underserved regions to help them understand more about the opportunities to participate in the GAC, not just to join the GAC, but to be active members in the discussions. And I think based upon many experiences now, I think we've had 5 or 6 of these workshops now in the last year in different locations around the world and obviously connected with ICANN meetings. We've seen tremendous interest and some very good exchanges and actually increased participation from some of those participants in those workshops. So thanks for that question, Renata. And for TFH, the onboarding program that I've mentioned is not unrelated to the overall community onboarding process and some of the pilot work that's being done there. From a GAC perspective, it may interest some of you to know that in terms of turnover or, you know, changes in community participation, the GAC is just about the highest rate of turnover of any of the ICANN communities. There are a number of factors that play into that in terms of the responsibilities and the work of various participants in different governments. But we are hovering somewhere around a 30% annualized turnover rate of participants within the GAC. And so the area of onboarding, of improving the processes for sharing information with new participants, getting them up to speed, and getting them not just to appreciate what's going on in the GAC, but what's going on with respect to other communities and how they all interrelate is a high priority of GAC leadership. And so in this context, TFH, that's what we're really focusing on now. And so when you see that there, it's GAC onboarding as opposed to the broader community onboarding, which is already a very successful program. Thanks very much, Ozan. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Rob, for addressing the questions in the chat box. Are there any other questions either in the chat box, or you can raise your hand, speak up? So I see some participants are typing. Meanwhile, I'll just jump to another question we have received through the registration form, which is GDPR versus WHOIS, General Data Protection Regulation versus WHOIS. Right now in Georgia, we are preparing updated version of CCTRD regulation. So where will be better to go? Bart, would you like to respond to this question?
Yes. Thank you, Ozan. I think what you've seen is there are a lot of sessions on GDPR at the at ICANN 61. Some have been alluded to. I think for CCTLDs who are outside the EU, the session during the Season Zone Members Day might be of most interest. It will be very practical. And this is where not only your, say, EU CCTLDs, but also a CCTLD from the Latin American region and from the Pacific, effectively American Samoa and Colombia, will share their experience and how they've dealt and will be dealing with the impact of the GDPR, in particular on the WHOIS. So for those who are interested in how CCTLDs deal with the GDPR, and not only in Europe, but also in the European Union, but also outside the European Union, the session on Wednesday afternoon might be of high interest. I'll pass the link to that session in the chat. Thank you.
Thanks, Bart. Quick reminder that we will give priority to real-time questions in the AC room or over the audio bridge, so please do not hesitate to jump in. Otherwise, I'll address another question we have received before this call started. How will ICANN deal with highly regulated strings in the next application period for new GTLDs? Emily, would you like to respond to this question?
Sure. Thanks, Ozan. Hi, everyone. This is Emily Barabas. I'm a member of the GNSO policy support team. Thanks for this question. So this is a topic under consideration by the new GTLD subsequent procedures policy development process working group. Work Track 2 is a subteam of that PDP, and it's considering the topic of global public interest, among other topics, and that includes mechanisms like public interest commitments, or PICs, that were put into place to account for GAC advice on Category 1 safeguards. There's not yet consensus recommendation on this topic, so all are welcome to provide input when the initial report goes out, scheduled for April of this year, for public comment. And you're also welcome to join the working group and share your perspectives on this topic. Thanks.
Thanks, Emily. Another question we have received was, how can Caribbean participants contribute more to ICANN policy? Heidi, would you like to provide an answer for this question?
Yes, thank you, Ozan. Can you hear me? Just checking that you can hear me again.
Yes, I can, Heidi.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you very much for the question. There are many ways that Caribbean participants can participate in ICANN policy processes. One way, I noticed that Rodrigo de la Pera, who is Vice President for the Latin American and Caribbean region, is on this call. Perhaps he can add some comments in the chat. From the at-large perspective, there are, again, the Latin American and Caribbean Islands Regional At-Large Organization, LACRALO. They hold monthly meetings, and they also have several working groups in their region where policy and process issues are discussed. At-large also has nearly 20 working groups, many of which are related to policy that anyone can contribute to. And thirdly, At-Large also has a policy advice development wiki page where comments that are being developed are open for input from all regions and other individuals. So I hope that answers the question. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Heidi. Quickly checking the chat box and the participants pod. Seeing no no further questions, I will move on to the other question we have received, which is, internet policy has always been an issue in Asia-Pacific region. What measures are the policy development support team taking to address the issue? As most of the time, surveys are set up and most of them even do not reach or are not replied. In such conditions, how can we address the apartment region? Mary, would you like to respond to this question?
Hi, everybody. This is Mary from the policy staff, and thank you, Ozan. I will do my best. So I did want to note that in the first iteration of this open house earlier today, we were pleased to see that we did have several participants from the Asia-Pacific region, including several newcomers to the ICANN community. Also, we had some staff who are based in the APEC region, including in the Singapore office and elsewhere, join us for the open house, which was scheduled at a time that was more friendly to the Asia Pacific. So in terms of the measures that are being taken, I did want to note that it is not just the policy support team that feels this responsibility. In many cases, we work with our colleagues in other departments and in other offices. I've already mentioned our APEC-based colleagues and the APEC team in the Singapore office. There's also our global stakeholder engagement colleagues and many others who work with parts of the community in different regions. So one of the things, however, internally that the policy support team has started to do is things like providing rotating times for working group meetings to try to accommodate participants from different regions, especially nowadays with increasing participation from APEC. We also have translations from many of our reports that are available when you download them. And in collaboration with our colleagues that I've mentioned, there's been a few new initiatives started over the last year or so. Some of these include the issuance of regional newsletters, including APEC-based newsletters. There is now a regular feature at ICANN meetings called the APEC Space, which is an opportunity for all participants, not just APEC folks, but everyone who's interested in topics that touch and interest that region, to get together to talk about policy and other activities with that perspective. We also work with our colleagues in the APEC offices to provide web conferences and webinars on ongoing policy development processes in the GNSO, work in the GAC, and so forth. So what I'm going to do right now is to put a link in the chat to the APEC space that our colleagues run out of the Singapore office. You'll find information there about how to sign up for newsletters, what the next web conferences are going to be about, when they're going to take place, and so forth. And so we're going to continue to try to improve the ways that we can reach and enable participation from our APEC-based community members, but hopefully those measures are helpful. Thanks, Ozan, and thanks for the question.
Thank you, Mary. I will make a final call now for any questions and check the chat box. And I'm seeing no hands raised. Pausing here for a few more seconds. So thank you for your interactive chat. I will now turn it over to David Olin for his final remarks.
Thank you, Ozan, and thanks the policy team members for their comments, insights, and our participants online as well for the questions. As we move into the final week or so before ICANN 61, we hope that these briefings are of use in terms of the pre-ICANN policy report. Over 300 have been downloaded by community members, and of the GNSO's policy briefing, over 200. And so this is a very helpful and useful document that I refer and suggest that you also take a look at in your preparations. Again, of course, all your work and efforts are important, and we want to make sure that the new approach to use of simultaneous interpretation services would be useful on the call. So if people could vote for those using it, what they thought was helpful for having the French and the Spanish interpretation, that would help guide us in future events. And finally, though many of you will be attending in person at ICANN 61 in San Juan, we also recommend those who cannot to be involved with our remote participation. And we have tried, again, a new innovation of customizing the remote participation instruction sheets via the SOs and the AC. So be on the lookout for some email links to that that allow you to more quickly add things to your calendar and link into the Adobe Connect room for remote participation at those sessions. Again, in our effort to engage more people and to have them more involved in our policy and advice work. The Internet functions for everybody because everyone is invited to help make it function, and your work in particular and the considerable commitment of time and effort to attend online calls and the face-to-face meetings at ICANN are an important element of our multi-stakeholder approach to our work. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation. We'll be sending around the slides and other important notes. And with that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Safe travels to those going to San Juan. We hope to see or hear from all of you very soon in Puerto Rico. Thank you very much.